Talo falava, malo elelei, ki orana, fakalofalahi atu, ki ora, nisa bulavinaka, aloha, woman jeka, and hello.
PX Whānau is a queer Pacifica and Oceania radio show produced and broadcast from Nam, connecting with our LGBTQA plus whānau every Saturday on 3CR 8:55 AM.
Bringing together the voices of the wide Oceania, the Pacifica, the Moana, and sharing our queer Oceania stories.
Decolonizing our identities, sharing our stories, sharing our voices. We are PX Whānau. On 3CR Community Radio, from Australia to the world.
Do you have a story to share? Any news and views that you think would be interesting to our community? You can email us on pxwhanauradio855@gmail.com. That's pxwhanauradio855@gmail.com.
PX Whānau acknowledges that we produce and broadcast our show, our ideas, and from the Indigenous lands whose sovereignty was never ceded, recognising the traditional custodians, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, paying respect to Elders past, present, and future.
Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Tēnā koutou ngā iwi o te motu. Talofalava Nisa Bolivinaka Kiorana Maloelele Fagalovalayatu Kiamatolo Osi, and welcome to the PX Whānau Hour on this Transgender Day of Audibility. That was a lot. All right. Thanks for joining us. I am your host. If you don't know me, my name is Kiki Temple. You probably do know me. You've heard me blah blah blahing on here before. And we have an amazing couple of guests for our hour of this Transgender Day of Visibility, that we have cleverly renamed Transgender Day of Audibility, because, you know, you can't see me. All right, I'm your host, Kiki Temple, again, for the next hour. You're welcome. And I have some amazing guests with me today, and I can't wait to tell and all with them right after this. We're going to just play another little ad for you. See you soon. Bye.
Bisexual Alliance Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label or no label at all, their partners and allies. Bisexual Alliance runs discussion groups in person and online. The group offers a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. Bisexual Alliance is especially keen to hear from multi-gender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations of $2 or more to Bisexual Alliance are now tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at bi-alliance.org, email info@bi-alliance.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
A 3CR supporter. I'm bisexual.
Welcome back. You're listening to the PX Whānau Hour on this Transgender Day of Audibility. And if you just joined me, I'm Kiki Temple. You're welcome. And we have Tilda Joy on the panel today. Thank you for helping us out, Tilda.
It's a pleasure.
Amazing. Otherwise, I would have just been in here by myself looking pretty with my guests not knowing what to do. Soz. So I've titled this hour with us, Hi Ma. And the reason for that is because I realized how important our elders are, and those that we like to call mother, especially for trans women, growing up with having, for myself anyway, having not had a very supportive mother and father on this journey. It's a beautiful story about that, about redemption later on, that I'll share with you with my ma. But yeah, you realize that you just kind of need someone there to kind of guide you. And I needed help with things like what doctors to see, what hormones to take, and how to best cover a moustache. And you know, sometimes that doesn't work out. But I still love you, ma, for teaching me all those things. I think the first thing my mother, shout out to my mum, Mama Latoya, who was not able to join us today, but that's okay. One of the first things she told me was, make sure you get rid of the hair. It's the hair on your face. Do that first and you'll feel a lot better. So, yeah, first little lesson from my ma. And we have a few, like I said, we have some amazing guests today who are going to share a bit of their knowledge maybe or some of the lessons they've learned. And they are who I call family. Amazing two guests. One of my guests is Auntie Laurencia. And one of my first daughters that when I first got to Melbourne is here with us today, Mika Diesel. And we're going to learn a little bit from them today. So intros. We'll start with you, Auntie.
Happy Easter, sweetie.
Thanks.
And thank you for inviting me to this amazing opportunity.
I see that you said Happy Easter, but you didn't bring the chocolate.
No. We have to kind of also watch our weight too, darling.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right. And Mika?
Well, hello. Happy Easter and happy Trans Visibility Week. For audibility, for all of those with ears. I am Mika Diesel from House of Diesel here in Nam. Representing one of the femme queens of Nam Ballroom.
Welcome, and thank you. Thank you guys for coming through, especially you, Mika, last minute. Thank you.
No worries.
Thanks.
I always got you, girl.
Got it. All right, so what I want to know before we listen to some more music, I just want to know, like, for you, Auntie, what are you best known for?
I've always supported and reached out to young trans girls, you know, developing and progressing to become trans ladies to trans women. Mm. My speciality has been always been in the health department. Some reason it draws me back, so it's this a sign that's meant to be to connect, and it sort of gives our future trans girls, trans ladies, trans women that kind of foundation to look into, which I believe is a very important role in terms of, you know, medication, mentally health, the physicalities behind a transitioning. So I've been very fond and very, and my strength is to, like, to guide them, support them, giving them opportunities and to desire to reach to their dreams and goals in the process of becoming a trans woman. It's been an extraordinary, challenging, wonderful experience for myself. I was raised by trans women, so I had a bit of comfort and support growing up in New Zealand. And coming to Australia was more opportunities and employment to support your choice and your dream to become a trans woman.
Because often, especially where we come from, I'm from New Zealand as well, it's not the transition journey is a little bit harder than it is. I recognize that my journey into transitioning didn't start until I got here to Australia. And that was because it was just there wasn't as much support. There probably is now. It's been a little while since I've been here, but it wasn't so helpful. We didn't have the support that you give as much as it, or that was quite visible anyway. And I know that we're connected through your relationship with Ma, with Mama Latoya, who is also in the health sector. I'm sure you have some amazing stories about what's been going on, and some funny little anecdotes to share with us. But before that, I want to go through to you. How about you? I know that you've just mentioned you are part of the House of Diesel.
Yes.
Tell us how that is. How is the ballroom scene for you? How does that help you develop your identity as a trans woman?
Well, if you don't know much about ballroom, it's pretty much like this space where, like, queer talent gets to be, like, really cultivated, where we get to be our most, like, fab selves, and we can really explore that aspect of ourselves. So in terms of me discovering my femininity, and even before ballroom, I was already like pushing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you knew me from like back in the club scene. I was already like pushing, like,
what? I'm innocent. I'm a woman of God.
Shut up. But honestly, like when it became to ballroom, then it was like, oh, like your eyes kind of open up. Mm-hmm. And then also it was the access to information about like transitioning. And I think before ballroom, it was very like, it was this kind of like gray area. It was really like smoky for me to kind of like know what's going on, what's the process. And then when you enter ballroom, femme queens, like trans women, we call trans women femme queens in ballroom. We like femme queens are kind of like, they're like, we're kind of like put on a pedestal in some ways. Like we are the pioneers of the scene. And then so you kind of, yeah, you have a lot of these really great examples of being successful and being trans, and you kind of see that it's like possible for you.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely like a really beautiful place to flourish as a trans woman, as a trans man too.
And that's the most important thing, is having access to information. We often, especially with... with us, the older generation, I'm not going to say us because I'm still young. with the older generations, there wasn't that access, and there wasn't that, outside of ballroom anyway. I know ballroom has been around for many, many years, for decades. But there wasn't, for anyone else outside of that, there wasn't that access.
Yeah. And I think when you like, when you get raised in a more like conservative background, they kind of put a shield over your eyes, right? Of like, of what you can know, and you, there's so like, you limit yourself to the knowledge of what being trans is like, and not, and then by opening yourself up to these communities, you kind of like, you know, start to see the real, exactly. like the realness.
Yeah. When you're exposed, I often talk about this in my practice. I am a playwright and an actress. And one of the things that one of the things I talk about is not this desire for me not to be the only one in the room that is trans. Because then you spend a lot of the time in that room or at that table with these people that are cisgendered, that only know cisgender, the industry through cisgender eyes, and you're often having to explain yourself why it's important for them to get my pronouns right, why it's important for me to say what I say or do what I do, and why sometimes. Why they often question, oh, why do you wear so much makeup? It's because I have to cover my maleness in order for them to take me seriously. And, sometimes it that is, I call it my Maybelline armor. Because it is a way to not have to shield myself from all of their questions and to, so they don't have to justify who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important for me going forward to have rooms that are rehearsal spaces and rooms that I'm in and work in, to have a lot more of us in there so that I don't have to explain it. So sometimes when I walk in there and, I have 5 o'clock stubble, which is hardly ever people. So, calm down. But when I do have that, where it's like, it's okay. My gender is not it's not being questioned. Mm-hmm. So that was some words of wisdom. You're welcome for anyone out there who needs that. We'll be right back. I'm going to talk to them a little bit more after this song. We'll see you soon.
Hey, oh, oh, ooh, hey, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, there comes a time in everyone's life. No room for mistrust, no room for hate. So open up your heart and don't look away. Ooh, yeah. Quality in life that's hard to find.
open mind. Tenderness, sensitive to a smile. Beautiful children have come into my life. Beautiful people, oh, young and bright.
Beautiful children longing for life. Worldly people take away the night.
These are the feelings from our hearts. There's no trade for love and affection.
Of West Papua rock.
As a West Papuan living in Australia, I can sit down and while I'm cooking dinner, listen to the voice of my people and also give the opportunities for my children to be able to listen to it and to our awesome music that's coming out of our country that you wouldn't be able to hear on commercial radio.
We love the voice of West Papua. Brilliant show, great hosts, fantastic information, and we love the voice of West Papua.
Yes, we do. We love the voice of my two guests as well. We're just having a bit of a kiki about life and about things that are important to us. So we're going to crack on into that. And Auntie, I would like to know some of these stories about your work and about the time you've had here coming all the way from Aotearoa and finding success and finding something that you're passionate about here in Australia. Tell us a little bit more. Do you have any interesting anecdotes?
I'm also in another department in the health, and it's with the street sex workers. And I'm very, very grateful and appreciate that I have an amazing girlfriend, sister, mama, Latoya, working alongside with her. We kind of support each other in terms of experiences, knowledge, and when we get these young sex street workers who have are at the early beginning stages of becoming a trans girl, trans lady, trans woman, they always come and see myself or Mama Latoya. And today, for me, it's about time, money, availability, and the technology. The time that you commit to and the dedication and the effort you put into the process would be a great effort you get out of it. Money. Some street sex workers have to, because they feel insecure in the work placement, they still feel discriminated, they feel still judged and have difficulty with employment. So they turn to a street sex work as an income source to support their choice and their development. And the availability, again, we can provide and assist with services within our department on medications, counselling, and the technology that's available out there. Back in the days, you had nothing. Like, we had to all experience the midnight shadows and cover up, but now there is technology designed for hair loss removal,
surgeries,
That's it.
Yeah.
Breast developments and all this amazing, you know, technology out there that's available. But it's very, can be very touchy talking to youngsters in their early teens with very little support, and one, where to reach out and how to reach out. So we do our very best to make an awareness in the health department, with sex street workers, within the community and locals, just even word of mouth or advertising that there are trans women available to support you in the best of your interests and your liking preference of how you're going to pursue your title as a trans woman. Because there's so many titles under the word trans, and just making sure they're understanding, they're positive in the choice they're making, becoming a trans woman. So we also, you know, share that it doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a big commitment, a lot of dedication, and just making sure that, you know, that we also encourage the wider community, national, international, the awareness that the different categories of a non-binary and a trans woman are two different titles. Previously, growing up was a common word, transvestite. And then you're processed and became into, and now we're titled with trans woman. And it's just making sure that everyone's, aware.
Yeah, you must have seen a lot of change, especially being coming from a generation where, like you said, it was common to be called transvestite or transsexual, where now it's not as common and almost offensive. I don't think it. I mean, because it was used in a derogatory way, so all of that knowledge that you have is so important to us. Especially for those who are starting out and wanting to have all of this information or have knowledge or have someone to ask, which is why it's so important for us to have people in our lives that are older, that have been through a lot more and know these little bits and pieces. And if you need to have any of this information, we will have some. We will have contact details and things for people like for Auntie Laurencia. Any outlets that Auntie can recommend for your information on our PX Whānau Instagram page. PX Whānau, PXWHANAU. Look us up on Instagram and we'll have that information there for you. They don't know that, but they'll be listening right now, so they know that now. We'll have all of that contact details for you there. One of the things that I want to ask both of you, and we'll start with you, Mika, is I just changed the question. The we're going to divert a little away from that mentor and mama thing, but I want to know, the moment that I realized that I was a trans woman was a light bulb moment for me, was something so freeing, and it was a moment where I had been thinking about it for a little while, but then when I decided that I was, that was the moment where it became really light on my shoulders, where things kind of changed for me, and my outlook on life changed. I was not one of those people who thought I was born this way. I decided that this was the correct path, and it felt right. And I made that decision knowing that I would have a hard time with it, and that I wouldn't be accepted. And that was one of the reasons why I hadn't decided earlier than I did. Mm-hmm. But then I come to a point where I decided, yeah, it's going to be worth it. All the backlash and the bad things and the heartache and the hormonal changes and everything that happens once a month for us, which actually happens, like all the hormonal changes are there. All of that kind of stuff, I had to decide to like have in my life, and it was so easy for me to decide not to before that. I want to know from both of you, starting with you, Mika, what was that moment for you? Did you have a moment of decision, or was this an always thing?
For me, I think I was, well, like before I said, I was always kind of like pushing myself towards looking more feminine and seeing how far I can kind of get away with it, being without actually being a woman.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until, I think, then I kind of got into ballroom, and I was just like, people just automatically thought that I was like a femme queen already, even though at the time I was identifying as an NB, like, or like a trans femme. But it was actually the light bulb moment was probably when I did decide to go on hormones. And that was, it was just kind of like a gradual thing. I think it was like more built up. I did see a lot more examples of, you know, my like trans friends also going through it and things working out for them. I just like before ballroom, I just kind of thought that that was like so far removed from what I could be, because like, I had a very like narrow view on what trans women are like, or like, you know, it's kind of like, if you think about like the doll, like kind of
the doll
aesthetic,
yeah.
That's kind of where my head was, which I mean, like, I love that. Like, I love that aesthetic too. Like, I think that's amazing, but also it's like, that's what I thought like trans women only could be, because that's like the most common media like image. But then from then like making trans friends, and I realized that there's a bit of a spectrum of like what, like of the journey that you can go through, and you know, what your body looks like, you know, things like that. And so then it was just kind of like brewing in me to like, oh, should I do it, should I not? But then I was already like in my mid-20s, and so I was like, listen, if I like don't do it now, and it's gonna be like too late, I'm gonna regret it. And I was just like,
I remember the time when you asked me, are you on hormones?
Yeah.
Should I do that? Should I? You weren't there yet.
Yeah.
But you're very, very feminine. You're very, very adult-like at the time. But I remember that. I remember you asking me about that question. And seeing you tick over and seeing that little thought process about, okay, this is starting to become real for you.
Yeah, and like the dysphoria was, I think, was getting harder too.
Yeah.
Like you kind of, like through like the lens of a trans woman, like when you're like living it, it's kind of like things are under a microscope to you, like just your hair getting like a little bit thicker, you're like, oh my god, like what's happening to me? I'm like transforming into an old man right before my very eyes. And so like before that, like to kind of combat that feeling and to feel comfort in myself, like I had to go through it. And also, it was the fact that I did join ballroom. It was like, I didn't have like the support from like my blood family to do it. Like, you know, the come around to it eventually, like slowly but surely, they're still in the process. But like, I thought that if I went through with it before, like, I'd probably get disowned, kicked out or something like that. But, like, with the support of after entering ballroom, you really, especially I was in a house as well. Like, I had a ballroom family who we're really close with each other. And so having that, like, tight-knit community, having that, like, family unit, knowing that if you went through with it, that people are going to, like, support you, it just helped me, like, make the decision.
That's it, family, because it's often where our birth family and our biological family, they never really accept when we first start out our transition. They only ever come around to it years later, or for some people, it's like when we start to fully pass. But that journey from starting off as a boy and then moving into womanhood and passing, for some of us, that's important. We don't have anyone else but the family that we choose. Which is why, again, it's important for us to have these trans elders and trans family in our lives that can tell us, look, don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Start off here and then we'll get to here later on, because we are like that. We just want to look like Beyonce straight away. I mean, I always look like Riri first off, but you know, get it. How about for you, Auntie? What was that moment for you?
I've always had a special part in my heart from the trans aunties, and they're like 80 now. Mm. They've departed us and to the pearly gates. And when I grew up with my grandmother, I was known to be her precious child, because I think I would have been about 5 or 7 when I think my family started noticing, oh, looks like we're gaining a butterfly or fairy or, you know, running around in nanny's high heels and handbag. So my family, and you're right, families can bring beauty and brutal, which makes, you know, us stronger survivors of who we are today. Because if you can battle your family, you can take on the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it, you know. So I've always been like, you know, okay, then I think my parents needed a babysitter. That's why they referred me to trans aunties in Wellington, because my mother used to sew their garments and frocks and dresses, and she always felt, for me, importantly, the safety. Because, you know, my dad's family have a history of spider fingers and spirit fingers. So my mum goes, no, I think Auntie Chrissy will be amazing to look after people while I go to bingo or fuddy fuddy or housing. And from there, they had an idea. They knew straight away the minute they met me, oh, yes, this is going to be our little butterfly, our little fairy. So they nurtured me, educated me, supported me, dressed me up. And my dad used to go, oh, my God. I drop off a son and pick up a daughter. And he was like, oh, my God, what's happening?
Love it.
And my mum was like, well, they love our baby. And we love them for loving our baby and looking after, because I'm the baby. And then I've got an older sister who was like my big brother. She was my protector, my shield as well. Then an older brother who was a pastor. So we had a fruit salad family discussions on table. And I used to say to my brother, look, come and join my church. What's your church? Adam and Steve. Oh, you need counseling, you need help, you know. So all that, you know, sort of developed, made me stronger and becoming a trans woman. And my grandmother taught me 3 great morals and attributes in life: respect, accept, and be humble, and will take you a long way. You know, not all about the money, it's not all about what the outside world will think of you. Because I used to love singing, used to love dancing, dressing up. And so my family were aware from when I was 7 years old. We got a little butterfly fairy happening. And I think they were too scared to really say something, because my nanny would just bite their heads off, or my mum, or my dad.
Grandmas do that, hey? Yeah. They're like, they're grandma's man.
I kind of leave that for Mama Latoya. Yeah. I'm just an auntie to support, you know. Well done, babe. You know, keep up the good work. Whereas I love Mama Toya, because she's going, oh, sweetheart, you know. Because she's been through an experience from my auntie's era right up to today. And then there was this massive gap, big gap, you know. And today it's like, wow, it's just amazing. And just seeing these future girls, trans ladies, trans women, it's just so beautiful. And supporting them with the foundation is most important, and how they take their steps slowly to progress or improve. Or because we always thought no one's perfect, but everyone really had such a great mouthful, judging the book of its, you know, of its cover, but not knowing every trans woman have their own story behind their journey to become a trans woman. That's really important. And I'm really happy that, you know, there's technology like radio, television, papers, leaflets, magazines, drawing the awareness out there to support.
Amazing. You heard it here first, people. Mama LaToya is old, according to Auntie Laurencia. Did you hear that, Mama? I know you're listening. Auntie said you're old and you're here from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And on that note, we'll come back after this song. See you soon. You're welcome.
Tira mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Tūtira mai ngā iwi,
tātou tātou e. Pai a te māramatanga, me te aroha.
Pai ngā iwi, ki a tapatahi, ki a kutahira, tātou tātou e.
Tūtira mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Tūtira mai ngā iwi,
tātou tātou e. Pai a te māramatanga, me te aroha. E ngā iwi, ki a tapatahi, ki a kotahi rā, tātou tātou e.
Tūtira mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Tūtira mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Pai a te māramatanga, me te aroha. I ngā iwi, ki a tapatahi, ki a kotahi rā, tātou tātou e.
Tūtira mai ngā iwi,
tātou
tātou e.
Tūtira mai ngā iwi,
kind of a lot of things that are coming up to the fore at the moment as well, particularly in terms of the way that we imagine, for example, essential work and also sort of essential community life or essential caregiving, and how those function. If we think about sort of the way that queer family often takes very, very sort of different forms and very, you know, important and meaningful forms that often don't match the picture of normative, heteronormative family life, but how so many of the affordances or the restrictions or the kind of the governmental sort of imagining of the way that we should live and what we need to live and what we need to survive really is shaped around heteronormativity. You know, it's around the family life in the suburb, as opposed to many, you know, single individuals who have shared queer family, both sexual and community connections that sustain them and that kind of give them life and give them sort of energy and comfort and safety and security and support.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM on digital and online. 3CR Radical Radio.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM. Visit the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au/podcast to hear the most recent recording from each show, or 3cr.org.au/streaming to listen live.
And welcome back to this PX Whānau Hour of the Trans Day of Audibility. We are celebrating Trans Day of Visibility, which, if you don't know, is today. I'm your host, Kiki Temple, and we have Auntie Laurentia and Amika Daly. Mika Diesel.
Yeah, that's my name too.
Mika Diesel here today. And we're talking all things, the show is titled Hi Ma, but my ma pulled out today. She's at home, probably judging us now. But we still are talking about the importance of having those mother figures in our lives and having family to be able to rely on. Because at the end of the day, if it's not a mother, it's going to be some person of influence in your life acting as that parent that we kind of need to show us the way, show us how to shave properly, how to laser, how to take your hormones, which ones, and all that kind of stuff, all that good stuff, and that's important. Before we had that song, we had a little bit of a chat about the doll aesthetic, and I just wanted Mika to just explain that for those of you who don't know what that is. Because I could feel in the back of my head some people going, what?
What's a doll? Never heard of that before. A doll, think Barbie, or think like the sex doll body. Think titties, you got BBLs, hourglass figure. Your hair down to your ass, we got the nails, you got the lashes. Like, it's basically just, like, the hyper-feminine.
Very hyper.
Hyper-feminine look. Mm. Which is, I think, for trans women, that's, like, it's like, a goal for a lot of trans women to look like that. And that's beautiful, but it's not the goal for every trans woman to look like
that's
that.
Right. And that's the one of the things why I asked about that is because there is this idea especially with us that are the colored trans women, that we have to look a certain way. And that's not entirely the case. That's something that that I learned later on, is that everyone, no matter where you are on your journey, is valid, that your transition from the moment you decide, or the moment you decide to take that first step as a trans woman or man, you are that person, whether you pass or not. And that's the thing, is like this word passing has become so important for us, and that's only because we see what we see on TV, who a trans person should be, is like a passing person, a passing woman, someone that looks like they were born that way. But then you see that they were often cast as like something like trans prostitute, number 3, dead body, number 4. There are always these people, we always have this bad rap of being the character or the person on the sidelines, or the dead person, or the prostitute, or that minor person. And in the Pacific cultures, a lot of us, a lot of the trans women are seen as funny comedians. Are there any examples of women that you, the both of you look to, as an ideal of who has shown the grace and that everything's going to be fine for you? Is there an example you can name? Or?
I was fortunate to know a couple of very well-known trans women in New Zealand. Actually, one moved to Australia, Carmen.
Carmen Rupe.
Yes.
Got it.
And Chrissy Wetoko, who used to own a cafe in Wellington, right on Vivian Street. And her cafe used to open from 10 a.m. to 6 a.m., supporting the sex workers, the trans woman. So for me, they were an icon and an eye-opener. And because in New Zealand back then, it was just so discriminating that they only sort of fulfilled their dreams at night and their wishes at night, because it was quite, you know, still rough around the edges in New Zealand at that time. But I've always admired someone like Georgina Bayer, who was in New Zealand, one of the very first trans women in Parliament House. So she was a big, you know, I was a big fan because, you know, she looked at the legal sides of a trans woman, you know, coming and putting that education, slapping it into people's face, especially when it comes to religions, about acceptance and respecting, you know. And then when I moved here to Australia, I just saw a wider range of trans women. But for me, it's every step you make or take, own it and blossom from it.
That's it. There's a beautiful trans woman, Georgina Bayer and Carmen Rupe. If you don't know who they are, Carmen was a, what can you say? She was an entertainer, a drag persona, a trans woman, a cabaret star who moved to Sydney and took over King's Cross and became one of the most legendary drag performers and cabaret performers of her time in the 60s, right? She moved here to Gadigal country and took over and just has had an astounding effect on myself as well. That's one woman that I look up to as well. Also, she's Māori, so it makes it easier for me to see her as someone that I look up to. How about you, Mika?
Definitely when I met my trans sisters in ballroom, I would say, I mean, there's a lot of examples in ballroom, but I think the closest to me at the time in my first house, House of Divine, we had McKay, she's now McKay Silky, and Jada 007. We were just very close in proximity, and they've been transitioning, you know, years before me, so I kind of like knew what, I kind of know what to expect from seeing their journey and asking them questions. And just like they were just so accessible for me to like learn from. In media, I would say, like recently we've had a lot more representation of like trans actors. Like when Pose came out, oh, I love Pose. Dominique Jackson and MJ Rodriguez, they both came out of ballroom as well. And just seeing them flourish is amazing. There's also the girl from Pose who played Angel, like the young one, and she's gorgeous, and she's
India
like fish.
India Moore.
She's fish down. She's realness. She's realness down. And I was like, ah, oh, I want to be that. Yeah.
So Borum has played a massive part. Even local Borum and international Borum has played a massive part in your life.
For sure.
I thought you were gonna say me, but you know, whatever.
Oh, and Kiki at Temple, of course.
What? What? Oh my gosh. Thank you. I'm so honored. So humble and honored by that. Again, from
I didn't say you, Dominique Jackson.
Yeah, no. That's right. I'm tall like that, 7 foot. I did say that one of my examples of my journey and accepting my transness was Carmen Rupe. Again, look her up. She's phenomenal. She's an astounding performer. And it's something, as a playwright, I would love to write something. I am working on writing something about her and about my own mother, Mama Latoya. So I'm going to kind of amalgamate the two and make this little fantasy of these two mothers meeting. The other person I met was somebody that was unknown, and it was somebody that I met when I was 7 years old, around about then, and her name was Rose. Rose was a family friend who was a trans woman, but everyone in the family were quite mean to her. She was the joke in the family, and She never said anything. She didn't have any surgeries. She just had long hair. She didn't really pass, but we all knew she was a woman. We all called her Auntie Rose, all the children anyway. And we wondered why all the men in the family would treat her poorly. And that was the experience that I had. And I wrote about Rose in a play I wrote called My God, She's a Woman, who Mika actually played. Or that I wrote for Mika. Rose, like I said, Rose, to me, even though in reality she didn't pass, to me, in my eyes, she reminded me of this beautiful woman sitting next to me. And the beauty that Mika shines. We all just saw her as beautiful. The way she walked and moved, the way she carried herself, and the way that she kind of stood up to all of my uncles. And there was probably a deeper story than that, and there was a lot more that she endured at their hands. I know that now, but the strength of this woman and the this frail little woman to take and put up with all of this abuse that she got has stuck with me for the last 12 years, because I'm only 24. What is that? 29, sorry. 19, whatever. But all these years, it stuck with me, and I am very happy to have the two of you in my life. Strong examples of women that I would like to be like one day. So I thank you so much. Thank you, Auntie. Do you have any last words?
I thank you very much for this amazing opportunity to be a part of this fantastic, beautiful Trans Day of Audibility.
You're welcome.
From our hearts to your hearts, we love you all.
Beautiful. How about you, Mika?
Yeah, just thank you so much for the opportunity to have a talk, have a key. Yeah, this has just been so fun and enjoyable, and yeah, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much, y'all.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been the PX Whānau Hour on this Trans Day of Audibility. Thank you so much to Tilda for paneling for us. Thank you so much. And we will see you all again on next Saturday. PX Whānau show is from 1:30 to 2. See you then. Thank you.
We're lit by the moon under the stars. I hold your hand as you hold my heart. Dance with me, darling, and while we groove, show me the way. Hey, an island girl move. Waves slowly break down by the shore. Oh, we get a little closer, ooh, as the night falls. I place a island girl moves. I hold you close as we sway. Ooh, the fire is burning, burning as we sway. All about you, I'm learning as we sway. Night away.
found me the one. You can tell by her smile. And when I get cold, girl, you are my light. Down on my close as we swear.